Welcome to Talks from the Bible. This program is brought to you by the Church of Christ, located at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia. We thank you so much for listening. We would remind you that Talks from the Bible airs also Monday through Friday. The times of those programs are 6:55 a.m. and again at 10:55 a.m. We would be so delighted if you would listen to those programs as we present the gospel of Jesus Christ. We invite you to worship with us at the Church of Christ located at South Commerce Street. We meet on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and then we worship our God at 11 o'clock, where we engage in prayer, the singing of psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, the giving of our means, the partaking of the Lord's Supper, and we deliver a lesson from the Word of God, the Bible. We would invite you to come and be with us. We are thankful that you are listening to this program, and we would offer our service to you if there is any way in which we might help you to obey the gospel of Christ, to become a Christian, to walk more closely with your God. I wish to read and examine a passage of Scripture found in the Epistle of 1 Peter, chapter 1, beginning with verse 18 and reading through verse 21. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. As we examine this passage of Scripture, I wish for us to draw three truths from the words that Peter has spoken to his readers and to you, our hearers. I wish first to examine the phrase, the blood of redemption. Peter says that we were not redeemed with corruptible things, but rather with the precious blood of Christ. When something is redeemed, it is purchased. Jesus Christ has purchased us from the bondage of slavery. He has set us free. In Galatians 5 and verse 1, the Scripture says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." Jesus points out in the 8th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with verse 32, that those who commit sin are the servants of sin, and through our knowledge of the truth we can be set free from sin. Because we were enslaved to sin, Jesus came to set us free. He came to redeem us. And Peter says that we were not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. Silver and gold is corruptible. But rather we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. The blood of Christ is the price which God paid for our redemption. God was so willing for us to be redeemed from sin that he sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might be redeemed from the awful bondage of sin. In the book of Hebrews at chapter 9, verses 12 through 14, the writer has said, "Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Under the Old Covenant, which was given through Moses, God required the blood of animals to atone for sin. That atonement, of course, would look forward to the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ upon the cross. But under that Old Testament system, those sacrifices had to be made in order that the sins might be atoned. Those sacrifices had to be made year after year after year. But here the writer in the book of Hebrews says that we are not redeemed with the blood of goats and calves. Under the New Testament system, under the system that has been inaugurated by the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was set upon the throne of David at the right hand of God, we are redeemed no longer with that type of sacrifice. But by his own blood, rather, he has entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Under the Old Testament system, sacrifices had to be made year after year. It was an annual sacrifice that God required. But now Jesus has obtained eternal redemption for us. No other sacrifice will have to be made. Jesus was the last and final sacrifice that God would require for the redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He would not require any longer the blood of bulls and goats, nor would he require the ashes of a heifer to be sprinkled, but rather the blood of Christ would offer himself so that not only we might be forgiven of those sins, but our conscience might also be purged of those sins. Under the old system, there was a remembrance made of sin every year. One remembered his sin. But under the new covenant of Jesus Christ, the New Testament, we can live free from the knowledge of those sins. We no longer have to recount or remember the sins that we have committed. But we have the full assurance that God has forgiven those sins through the sacrifice that Jesus has made upon the cross. How so important is the blood of Christ to the forgiveness of sins? And Jesus, by his own blood, obtained that eternal redemption for us. The writer says he offered himself without spot to God to purge our conscience. The Apostle Peter had said that he was a lamb without blemish and without spot. Jesus Christ did not sin against God. Jesus is able to be the atonement that God requires, the sacrifice of redemption that God desires, because Jesus Christ was without sin. Never once in his earthly ministry was he ever spoiled by sin. You and I commit sin. We violate the covenant of God. But Jesus Christ did not. He was spotless and free from sin. He was a sinless individual. And so that sacrifice has been accepted by God. The blood that Jesus shed upon the cross of Calvary is the acceptable sacrifice of Almighty God for the cleansing, for the forgiveness of our sins. No longer do we need to feel guilty about those sins because Jesus has forgiven us of those sins. In Revelation 1 and verse 5, John wrote this marvelous book of Revelation, and he presents Jesus Christ as the one who will triumph over all evil. In Revelation 1 and verse 5, John says concerning Jesus, "Unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Our sins have been washed away. They have been removed. Just as the soil of clothing can be removed by washing, just as dirt from the body can be removed by washing, so Jesus Christ has washed us from sin. in his own blood. In Revelation 5 and verse 9, as the scripture continues to talk about Jesus and how majestic he was and how mighty he was and even is this day, he says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Isn't that marvelous? Isn't that so comforting that Jesus Christ has redeemed us because he was willing to be slain? And by his blood, we have been redeemed from every kindred, from every tongue, from every people, from every nation. Throughout the world, Jesus Christ has shed his blood and offered that blood unto God as a sacrifice, so that all people everywhere in all times of the world might be forgiven of their transgression and cleansed of their sin. In Romans, the 3rd chapter and the 24th verse, or the 25th verse, the writer says, "Whom God, Jesus Christ, hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." This New Testament writer again sets forth that Jesus Christ was a propitiation. He was the price paid for our redemption that settled our sin account with Almighty God. God be thanked that Jesus Christ has offered unto the Almighty Father the blood of redemption. 1 John 1:7 continues to give us the assurance, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sin." That word "cleanseth" means continual cleansing. God continually cleanses the sin of those who walk in his light, but might sometimes, occasionally, fall short of his glory. The second point that we wish to present from this reading that we have made in 1 Peter chapter 1 at verses 18 through 21 is that Jesus Christ was appointed to be our Savior. Verse 20 of 1 Peter 1 says, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you." Before the foundation of the world was laid, God in his infinite knowledge foresaw the fall of man, the sin of man. He knew long before Adam and Eve were created that they would sin against him in the Garden of Eden. And so he provided for a plan by which we might be redeemed from sin. And Jesus Christ was foreordained to be our Savior. He was the one whom God appointed to be the sacrifice. What marvelous love is demonstrated by Almighty God in the truth that he was willing to give his only begotten Son as a sacrifice for our sin. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 22, the Apostle Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost in the city of Jerusalem after the Holy Spirit has come upon them. The Holy Spirit had been promised by Jesus as that spiritual being who would guide them into all truth, bring to their memory all that Jesus had said unto them. The Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 is preaching the gospel truth of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. In verse 22, as he has begun this great sermon, he says, "Ye men of Israel." These in the audience that day were Israelites, They were of the Jewish nation. They had come from afar to the city of Jerusalem to celebrate the feast of Pentecost. And God uses this wonderful opportunity to set in motion His plan of redemption through Jesus Christ. Peter proclaims, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know." Jesus of Nazareth. Nazareth was the city where Jesus chose to live. He was a man approved of God, appointed by God to be our Savior, to be our Redeemer, to be my Savior, to be your Savior. God appointed Christ. He foreordained Christ to die upon the cross and to shed His blood. In the book of Galatians, beginning in chapter 4, beginning with verse 4, the Apostle Paul says, "When the fullness of the time was come," that means when the time that God had appointed for Jesus to come had arrived. Centuries had passed since God had made the promise in Genesis 3 and verse 15 that He would provide redemption for the human family. Genesis chapter 3 records the first sin committed by humanity. This was a sin committed by Adam and Eve. But since that time, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3 and verse 23. God made a promise to Adam and Eve and to all of humanity in Genesis 3 and verse 15 that He would provide human redemption for all the world. Centuries of time rolled by until God brought into motion that fulfillment, the fulfillment of that great promise. And so in Galatians 4, beginning with verse 4, "When the fullness of the time was come," at the time appointed by God, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary. This was a miraculous birth. He was born while the law of Moses was still in effect. Why did God send forth His Son? To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." God sent forth His Son into the world at His appointed time, according to His counsel. God always acts according to His divine will. God always performs in the time that He sees best and that is determined by Him. God is God, and all things are done according to the plan that God has for humanity. And so Jesus, in the fullness of time, came forth to be our Savior and our Redeemer, and to remove us from the awful slavery of sin. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul is writing to the saints at Ephesus, the church at Ephesus, and he is describing spiritual blessings that are found in Jesus Christ. Jesus must be the Savior of all humanity. Jesus must be my Savior, and He must be your Savior. We must come to Him in obedient faith. We must believe upon Him, repent of our sins, confess Him, and be baptized into His blood, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, so that we can arise to walk in newness of life. And so in Ephesians 1 and verse 11, Paul says, "In whom," Jesus Christ, "also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will." God had a predetermined plan by which He would redeem humanity. The apostle says that we have obtained an inheritance if we are in Christ because of this predetermined plan that God had. But now in Christ Jesus, that plan has come to pass. God has acted in the birth of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, the resurrection of Christ, so that we might be saved and that we might be redeemed. The third point that we wish to draw from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, is that Jesus has been raised from the dead. Verse 21, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory. The purpose of the resurrection of Jesus Christ was to conquer sin and also to conquer death. But the Apostle Peter says that through the resurrection of Christ, because Christ has been raised from the dead, we can believe in God, and our faith and our hope is in God. Jesus has been raised up from the dead. On the third day, Jesus was raised by the divine Spirit of Almighty God. The Apostle Peter, in the Sermon on Pentecost, spoke of this in verses 24 through 32. He says that Jesus has been approved of God. He has been delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. He has been crucified and slain. Verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pangs of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God hath sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. Him being delivered by wicked hands, has been raised up. He has been set by Almighty God upon the throne of David. And the scripture says in verse 31, he seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. God raised up Christ. When the Apostle Paul comes into the city of Athens, as is recorded in the 17th chapter of Acts, he presents to the Athenians the unknown God. The unknown God whom Paul presented is Jehovah God. He is the Creator. He is the Sustainer. He is the Provider. And as Paul points out in verse 31 of Acts 17, he will ultimately be the judge. He has appointed a day in the which he will judge the world, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised up Jesus from the dead. The apostle says that the divine assurance of Jehovah God and the judgment to come has been shown in the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 11, the Apostle Paul said that the Spirit that quickened the body of Christ and raised up that body will also quicken our mortal bodies. Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, and in that resurrection, the bondage of death, the chains of death have been forever destroyed. Sin has been destroyed. A death blow has been dealt to Satan. He no longer has the power that he once had, because in Jesus Christ there is redemption. And though we fall under temptation, though we walk aside from God and though we sin, yet in Jesus can we have forgiveness and can we have the assurance of hope. Because our hope is in Jesus, because He has redeemed us with His blood, because God has appointed Him to be our Savior, and because He has been raised from the dead. As verse 22-21 of 1 Peter 1 says, your faith and hope might be in God. We live with a divine hope. We live with our hope of our own resurrection from the dead, our own conquest of sin, and ultimately our eternal home with God in heaven. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 1, Paul says emphatically that Christ is our hope. He is our hope for the future. He is our hope of victory. He is our hope of assurance. In Colossians 1 and verse 27, Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We have a hope of future glory with Almighty God because of Jesus Christ and His blood of redemption and His resurrection from the grave. In the book of Hebrews, at chapter 6 and verse 11, the writer says concerning Jesus, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. We have a full assurance of hope. Our hope is not in doubt. Our hope is not in question, for in Jesus Christ we have the full assurance of hope. We can know without doubt, without any uncertainty, that ultimately we will be raised in glory, and we can live in that glorious land that God has appointed where He dwells, which the Bible calls heaven. This hope has been secured by the blood of redemption offered by Christ and by His resurrection from the dead. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, the Apostle Peter said that we have been begotten again unto a lively hope. We have been born unto a living hope by Jesus Christ and what He did at the cross and what happened at His grave. So meaningful is Jesus' blood of redemption. Have you applied this blood to your soul by believing Him to be the Savior, repenting of sin, confessing Him to be the Savior, and being united with Him in baptism? When one goes into the watery grave of baptism, he takes all of his sin with him. Sin is not forgiven before baptism. It must be washed away in the death of Christ. And in that water of baptism, we contact the blood of Christ. We apply that blood to our soul. For just as Christ was buried after His death, so we are buried, according to Romans 6, 3 through 5. But we are raised to walk in newness of life. God blesses us in baptism with the blood of redemption offered by Jesus Christ and with the assurance of our own resurrection from the grave because Jesus has been resurrected. I urge you this day, believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I thank you so much for listening, and I pray that you will consider with all of your heart the words that have been spoken.